Today's shiur will be a memory of Dr. Elliot Goldberg, who was both a friend, pediatrician to many of us, and Eloi Nishmato. We're starting at Dalet Amud Bet. I'm going to go back to the two dots to start the sugya, and we'll see how it develops today. We saw in the Mishnah, what?
It was before Tishrei.
Okay. Ha'omer l'chaveiro mudar ani. So remember we had this Lashon, and Aviva asked me before class, and we're going to really get into this today. The Lashon in the Mishnah was a very strange Lashon, and maybe I'll even start with the concept here. The Mishnah said, we were talking about what yadot are. It said, ha'omer l'chaveiro mudrani mimcha, mufrashni mimcha, meruchachni mimcha, shani ochel l'cha, shani to'em l'cha, asur. What exactly this means is somewhat unclear. It's somewhat unclear to us, particularly living many years after this was written, but it was even unclear to Shmuel, the Amoraim already, and remember, Shmuel is in the generation right after the Tekufat HaTanaim. It's called the Tekufat Ma'avar. He's Rabbi Shmuel of the first Amoraim, and already it's unclear to him what exactly they meant, okay? And not only is it going to be unclear to him what they meant, but it's now going to be unclear to the people putting together the Gemara what Shmuel meant. Because nobody really understands Divrei Shmuel, because it in itself is problematic in light of other Mekorot Tanaim or our Mishnah itself. So what we have here, I'm just going to show you in the chart to kind of give you the Mivneh of the Daf. We're going to have four different attempts. Okay, there's five here because the fifth one is going to go back to the original one. Okay, it's going to be somewhat confusing because they're trying, okay, sometimes when things are confusing, it's not so much that you don't understand, it's that the Gemara was struggling with it, they're trying to give these answers that aren't exactly the best answers, and in the end they all get rejected, and in the end they're going to go back to the first one. But first, they're going to reject the first like we saw yesterday because of some problems. So we'll start again with Shmuel, what we did yesterday, we'll go back to the beginning, and then we'll get through all the options of what Shmuel said, and from here we're going to get into another basic machloket, whether yadayim she'ei mochichot are considered a yad or not. And what does that mean? That means if you say something, what was the whole issue with a yad? A yad is something that's cut off, right? It's not a whole thing. We talked about a yad being either a hand or a handle, right? Which all comes from the same, right? Handle, hand, it's the same thing. It's all the same source. Being something that's not a full amira, right? It's not a full statement. It doesn't say asur alai, it doesn't say kikorban. But the question is going to be, how unclear does it have to be in order to be considered a yad? If it's a yad where it's unclear what exactly your intent is, then maybe that's not a yad. It has to be maybe clear what your intention is, even though it's missing the key words. Okay? Or maybe not. Maybe even if you say a yad that's not totally clear what you mean, it's still considered a neder. That's going to be a base machloka we're going to see in the end. But that's kind of a preview. So, let's start with the beginning. Ha'omer l'chaveiro mudarni. That's just a quote from the Mishnah. V'chulei. Amar Shmuel, bekulan ad shiomar shani ochel lecha shani to'em lecha, right? You have to say, mudrani ani mimcha shani ochel lecha, which we don't exactly understand what this means, right? But it means basically, I'm not going to get hana'ah from you. Okay? We'll see whether, does it mean food? Does it mean any kind of benefit? We're not sure. So now they brought, I'm not going to read this inside, but you can look at the chart. We brought two different Mekorot Tanaim that both of them separated between, right? It said, this is Harez Asur, and this is Harez Asur, right? Mudarani Mimcha, Farash Mimcha, Murchag Mimcha, Harez Asur, and then Shani Ochel Lecha, Shani Toim Lecha, Harez Asur. Or we had it the flip, right? We tried to say Bamed Barim Amurim, but then we said, oh no, it can't be because the other Braita has it the reverse order, whereas it's saying Shani Ochel Lecha. And then we said basically, number one, it's got the flip order also, which wouldn't really seem to indicate, oh, you're to only us when you say Midrani Mimcha, if you said Shani Ochelecha. And the second thing is, it says at the end of each line, Hareza Asur, right? Or Asur. So it seems to separate as if there's case one, two, and three, and then there's case four and five, and they're totally separate. So therefore, they reject this understanding of Shmuel, and they start with the second interpretation. So we're going to start now from three lines from the bottom, the end of the line. Ella Amar Shmuel, Ta Amar de Amar Shani Ochel Lecha, Shani To'em Lecha, Hu de Asur v'chaveiro Mutar, Aval Amar Mudrani Hemach Lechude, Shnehem Asurim. When he distinguished between the Shani Ochel Lecha and Shani To'em Lecha, what did he mean? If you say the word Shani Ochel Lecha, Shani To'em Lecha, then what does it mean? It means you're forbidding yourself, you're saying Shani Ochel Lecha. It's very one-sided. I am not going to benefit from you. But aval amar mudrani hemach lechudei. If you just say, now here we're going to see this term hemach, which really we're going to see that hemach is synonymous with mimcha, okay? Which is the lashon in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said mimcha. So hemach is going to be like mimcha. But if you say mudrani mimcha by itself, what does it sound like? Now, this is why it's going to be confusing, because we're going to explain this now later to be different. But the assumption now is, if you say mimcha, it sounds like you're saying from you entirely. You to me, me to you. And therefore, it's a two-way neder. And therefore, shnehem asurim. Now, how do we just say this, Stam? It's not because we just think that maybe this is what Shmuel said. But ki hada amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, mudrani hemach shnehem asurim. Okay? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina said that explicitly. If you say mudrani hemach, it means shnehem asurim, and Shmuel must go like him, and therefore that's the distinction he's making. When he says, now it's unclear, did Shmuel say, bikulan ad shiomar shani ochel lecha shani to'em lecha? And as you have to remember, that was his statement. Are they rereading his statement, or are they just interpreting it differently? Are they saying that's not really what he said, or are they saying, bikulan ad shiomar shani ochel lecha shani to'em lecha, meaning, if you say shani ochel lecha shani to'em lecha, then it's just you to him. But if you say just mudrani mimcha without that, then it means it's both ways. Okay? Again, it's hard to read that into Shmuel. I'm taking that as a given. That's why, as I said in the beginning, we're going to reject all these interpretations anyway, so I wouldn't get too crazy about the fact that it doesn't exactly make sense. Okay? So now, question. We're going to start with a question. What basically they're going to do, you can see we're on the second part of the second thing in the chart, okay? We're going to basically bring a koshi, okay? Three kushiot. In the end, we're going to end with the last one as a koshi. But we're going to quote three parts, and here I put it at the bottom, from the Mishnah that appears in Nedarim Mem Zayin Amud Bet, okay? They're quoting the three parts of that Mishnah. They're going to quote each line first, one at a time, okay? And they're going to try to infer something from this Mishnah. In the end, they're not going to be able to. So here we go. Tanan. It says in the Mishnah, whenever you see Tanan, by the way, it means we're quoting from a Mishnah. Tanya, it means we're quoting from a Braita. Okay, the Shoresh is from Tana, right? Shana, Mishnah, it's all the same, okay? Taf and Shin switch in Aramaic. Hareni Alecha Cherem. Hamudar Asur Aval Madir Lo. If you say the words, I am going to be Cherem upon you, what does it mean? That you're forbidden to me, but I'm permitted to you. Okay, I'm the Madir. I'm okay because what did I say? Hareni Alecha Cherem. So what does this seem to imply? That if you say Hareni Alecha Cherem, right, which is a general Lashon, it only is one way. And we just said that Mudrani Mimcha seems to indicate both ways. Now, you could, again, you can make an argument. Hareini Alecha Cherem isn't exactly the same as Mudrani Mimcha, but they're trying to equate it. It sounds like a general statement, and yet we're saying it's only one-sided. And before we said a general statement would be two-sided. So the answer, Kigon de Parish Va'at Alai. When the Mishnah said Hareini Alecha Cherem, it didn't mean just saying the words Hareini Alecha Cherem, it meant saying the words Hareini Alecha Cherem ve'at alai. Okay, I'm sorry, ve'at alai lo, and you will not be forbidden to me. Okay, so they're reinterpreting the Mishnah, adding words to it, and saying that in that case where it said it's only one-sided, right? Why was it one-sided? Not because he made a general statement, but he made a very specific statement. What was his specific statement? Again, this is not said in the Mishnah itself, but we're saying, add these words, okay? Hareini, what were the words again? Hareini alecha cherem, ve'at alai lo. Okay, but you won't be forbidden to me. Okay? So adding those words, basically, that then we've resolved our issue. We're going to see in a minute that we're going to totally reject this. Second line. Okay, now we're going to ask a question from the second line. We have the same type of thing, though. Va'at alai cherem. Let's say you say, at alai cherem, you're cherem for me. Again, a general thing. It only works one way. Hanoder asur, the guy who said it himself is asur, aval mudar lo. So again, how do they answer it? Kigon de parish va'ana alach lo. Okay, they add more words. Oh, but you're not for me. Now, before we go on, I just want to make it clear. There's general statements and specific statements. General statements we're going to call stam, right? The Lashon of the Mishnah seemed like it was a stam Lashon, where it wasn't very clear. And that's where we got into a problem. And therefore we said it's not stam, but it was a case where he was befarish. Okay? Now we're going to see the Mishnah set up, okay? Now, if you want to just look at the Mishnah itself, it'll be obvious, okay? If you look under the chart, I've quoted the Mishnah. The Mishnah reads like this. Hareini alecha cherem, hamudar asur. Hare at alai cherem, hanoder asur. Hareini alecha va'at alai shnehem asurim. But now it says if you specify, and you see the last case really says it all, because if you specify both directions, then shnehem asurim. But what's implied by that statement?
If you don't
specify both directions, then not. And therefore, the way we interpreted the first two cases is if it's a mefaresh case and not a stam case, doesn't make sense when you read the end of that Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara is going to say now. Okay. Aval stama mai, according to what we've said until now, before we read the last line, what would you say stama case would be, right? If you're not mefarish, hareini alecha cherem va'at alai lo, what would you say the stam case would be? Shnehem asurim, which is exactly what match what Shmuel said, mudrani mimcha would be shnehem asurim. But hami dekatane seifa, hareini alecha va'at alai shnehem asurim, Hadin hu de shnehem asurim. Just in that case, it sounds like shnehem asurim. But ha stama, if you just said it's stam, hu asur v'chaviro mutar. Okay, if you just said it's stam, it seems to imply that it would only be one-sided. Okay, and that rejects the whole interpretation we just had of Shmuel and of this Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara now says, therefore we're going to reject it. It can't be that this general statement of mudrani mimcha would mean both are asurim, because only if you really specify you to me and me to you are shnehem asurim according to that Mishnah. So therefore, elahachi itmar to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Now here it's strange. The Gemara is saying, reinterpret Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, but what it really means is also reinterpret how we understood Shmuel. So now we're up to the third option of Shmuel. This is the distinction Shmuel meant to make. And this really doesn't match the words of Shmuel at all, and that's what the Gemara is eventually going to say. But what is Shmuel saying according to this? Mudar ani lecha shnehem asurim, mudrani hemach, hu asur v'chaviro mutar. Okay, first of all, this does match Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. What did Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina say? Mudrani hemach shnehem asurim. Okay? Oh, sorry. No, it actually doesn't match it. It's flipping it, right? It's saying, mudrani hemach, Dafka, you messed it up. It doesn't mean mudrani hemach shnehem asurim. What does it mean? It means if you say mudrani hemach, then what do we have? Hu asur v'chavero mutar. Okay, it's only one-sided. But if you say mudar ani lecha, okay, if you use the words mudar ani lecha, then shnehem are asurim. And that's the distinction they want to make right now. That mudar ani lecha, lecha, now what's the assumption lecha? Lecha, they say, means, lecha means you, your mamon. Now, if you're usher to someone's mamon, what does that mean? Right? If you're usher to a person, so it means that that person can't benefit from you. But if you're usher to their nechasim, it means that you can't benefit from their nechasim. So it ends up going both ways, because obviously their property isn't a person, right? It's not. So the property flips back to you. So now, what do we have? So that's the distinction they want to make between hemach and mudar ani lecha. Okay? But the Gemara says, obviously, v'hama nitin dekatane hemach, but our Mishnah didn't set up a hemach case and mudar ani lecha case. Our Mishnah set up mudrani hemach as opposed to shani ochel lecha, which is something different. So, they say, v'hama nitin dekatane hemach. Our Mishnah was referring to the case of hemach. V'ukimna lematnitin l'shmuel, and we already established, Shmuel said about our Mishnah, b'kulan ad shiomar shani to'em lecha v'shani lochel lecha. Hu de'asur v'chavero mutar, ava b'mudrani hemach, shnehem asurim. So basically they say, our Mishnah distinguishes between the case of mudrani hemach, and shani ochelcha. And therefore, if we're going to distinguish between a case where shnehem asurim and one is asur and the other isn't, it would have to be that case. And therefore, this interpretation doesn't hold. Okay? So we're up to number three. Mudarani lecha shnehem asurim, mudarani hemachu asur v'chaviro mutar. And that doesn't stand because that's a new distinction that doesn't exist in the Mishnah at all. That can't possibly be what Shmuel was talking about our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah didn't even have the case of mudarani lecha. So then they say, Ela me'ikara de Shmuel hachi itmar. Well, really, what Shmuel originally was saying is this. Ta'ama de'amar sh'ani ochel lecha, v'sh'ani to'em lecha, Hu de'enu asur ela b'achila. So by the way, we're moving out of the realm of one-sided versus two-sided. That's not the distinction. Okay? And then we're going to say, and you could say, by the way, that maybe that's the distinction of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Hanina, but it can't be the distinction that Shmuel is making, because that makes no sense in the context of our mission. So therefore, what are we going to say? Again, we have to find a difference between not Hemach and Ani Lecha, but between Hemach and Shani Ochel Lecha. Okay? So now, what's going to be our distinction? Our distinction is going to be that if you say Shani Ochel Lecha v'Shani To'em Lecha, Hu de'enu asur ela ba'achila. That's going to specifically mean isur achila bilvad. Okay? That's what we're up to. If you say shani ochel lecha, you add those words, it means it's only asur ba'achila. But if you don't say those words, right? Ha mudrani mimcha. What does mudrani mimcha mean? And this answers your question, Viva, that you asked before class. Then asur afilu bahana'a. If it's just Hemach or Mimcha, whatever, right? Whatever lashon you use, that means afilu bahana. Okay, that means it's food and any other sort of benefit. Okay, so now we still have a problem. Why? Because what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said again. Look at his words. Okay, it's back on Dalet Amud Bet in the middle. Amar Shmuel bekulan ad shiomar shani ochel lecha shani toem lecha. What does that sound like? Until you say that, you would say kind of like you wouldn't be forbidden in everything, and it's definitely the opposite, right? So ihachi lema Shmuel hachi. Shmuel should have said this. V'im lo amar ela shani ochel lecha v'shani to'em lecha ein asur ela b'achila. Right? If you only said if you only said this lashon, then you'd only be forbidden in achila. But if you said the general, then you'd be forbidden also b'hana. So therefore, it doesn't really match Shmuel's words, and therefore they reject it. Okay, so now we're up to our last option, which is really going to go back to, like I said, our first option, if you still remember what that is. Elahachi itmar ta'ama. Elahachi itmar. This is really what he said. Ta'ama da'amar shani ochel lecha v'shani to'em lecha hu da'asur. Aval amar mudrani hemach lo mashma da'amar asur. Okay, what does that mean? If you just, I'm going to start with the last part. If you just said the words mudrani mimcha, that would not be considered a yad of a neder that would forbid you. Okay? It's not a complete enough statement. Only if you add the words shani ochel lecha or shani to'em lecha, meaning how we did it at the beginning, right? We said 1, 2, 3, mudrani, mumchakni, mufrashni, plus you have to say shani ochel lecha or shani to'em lecha. You have to put it together. It reminds me of like those dress-up things. You know, you put this together with that and you get a whole thing. Okay. So now my time, what's the reason? Mudar ani mimcha. What does it sound like when you're saying mudar ani mimcha? It sounds like you're saying, now here we're going to see two different interpretations of how to understand this, but let's start reading it and then I'll give you the two interpretations. If you just say the words mudar ani mimcha, what does it sound like? It sounds like you're saying, lo mishti'ina bahadach. I'm not willing to talk to you. Okay? Mashma. That's what it sounds like. Mufrashni mimcha. What does it sound like? I'm not willing to do business with you. I'm going to distance myself from you. Right? I'm separating myself from you. I won't do business with you. Mashma. That's what it sounds like. Muachni mimcha. I'm distancing myself from you. What does that sound like? It sounds like I'm not going to go into your space. Okay? So because it sounds like those things, now comes the second part of this phrase, which could be interpreted in two different ways. Because each one can be interpreted in a particular way, that one's referring to speech only, one's referring to, right, and none of them, by the way, are referring to food or hana'a or anything like that, therefore, it's not a yad at all. It doesn't mean anything. It's a meaningless statement. Or you could say that according to this reading, now, that would mean that basically, it doesn't necessarily mean that mudar means that, but they're saying mudar could mean this, mufrash could mean that, mucha could mean that, they could all mean the other. It's totally unclear what you're saying, and therefore it's a meaningless statement. Or some of the interpretations say no. Some of the commentaries say no. What does it mean? It means if you say mudar ani lecha, it means that you're not allowed to talk to the person. And if you say mufrash ani mucha, it means you're not allowed to do business. They took it very literally. This is what it means, but it doesn't mean all the other things. Okay, and therefore it's not a real neder. In other words, it's just a neder for a very specific thing, but it's not a neder. Generally, we talk about nederim, it's for Yisur Achila or Yisur Hana, and it's not that, but it is for the particular thing that it does mean. But I think it makes more sense to Dafka read it the other way, which is, it could be this, it could be that, right? Because it's not so clear that each lashon specifically matches up to the one they put it with, and it could just mean anything. And therefore, this is what we're going to see in a minute. It's called yadayim she'ein mochichot. It's a yad that's unclear what you actually meant. So therefore, Shmuel says, if you just say that without adding on shani ochelecha, what does shani ochelecha add? It means that I won't get any benefit of food from you, okay? So therefore, then we know what your intention is. But if you say it without that, it's not clear what your intention is. So now, the Gemara says, wait a minute. If you say that, okay, I'm going to preface, I told you this already, there's a machloket. Yadayim she'ei mochichot. Are they considered a yad, or are they not considered a yad? Now, if you take this interpretation of Shmuel, what are we saying, basically? That Shmuel would have to side on the side that says what? The yadayim she'ein mochichot, right? What do we say? Ein mochichot are eino klum, right? They're not considered valid. Now, we're going to see that the Gemara doesn't really want to do that, okay? Lema kasavar Shmuel, we're at the top of Hamad Bet now. Lema kasavar Shmuel yadayim she'ein mochichot lo havyan yadayim? Do you really mean to say that that's what Shmuel holds? And it's like beyond them to think that. Okay, we're going to get into this in one more minute. And the Gemara says, why, what's the problem? Shmuel mokim la lamatnitin ki Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, he holds like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. We're now going to learn that there's a machloka Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim about yadayim she'ein mochichot. Okay, now we're going to see that machloka isn't 100% yadayim she'ein mochichot, but we'll get to that only at the end of the das. But there's a machloka Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, and we say, yeah, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amar yadayim she'ein mochichot lo havi en yadayim. Okay, now where do we see Rabbi Yehuda? Here we go. Ditnan simsechet gitin. Gufo shel get harea muteret lekol adam. Let's say you have a get that says in it, Haram Mutarat Lakol Adam. Okay, we're going to get to Gittim, we're going to learn all about this, but basically, if you read the Psukim in Gittim, what does it say? V'katav la sefer kritut. He has to write her a book of separation. Okay? V'katav v'natal, v'katav la sefer kritut, v'natam biyada. Okay, and he gives it to her, and it becomes hers. So now, let's say the get just said, it didn't say a lashon of kritut and things like that. It didn't say, what are the lashon of kritut? Like it says, you know, we're getting divorced or some sort of lashon of kritut. And it says, you know, haram mutarat lekol adam. That's part of what it has to be written in a get. And basically, you know, and it has some other lashonot of you're out, you know, you're free, you're out, you're like a yitziah. So here, what does he say? If it says haram mutarat lekol adam, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, v'din dehavi lechim minai sefer teruchim v'igeret shivukin. Okay? He has to say that, this is for you, a sefer kritut and an igeret shivukin. Igeret shivuk is like to azav. Has to be like an igeret aziva. He has to say that this get for you is your sefer kritut, basically. It's the thing that's cutting us off. As opposed to what? What else could it be? It could just be a shtar that's me'id al kach that I want to permit you, you know. But it's not that the get itself, right? Generally, the get functions differently than a regular shtar. A shtar could just say, you know, I gave you a divorce. If a shtar said, I gave you a divorce, that's not a divorce. The shtar has to affect the divorce, okay? So comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, if your shtar says, haram mutar lekol adam, that's not a shtar that's affecting the divorce. He has to say, this shtar for you is affecting the divorce, basically. And if he doesn't do that, then it's like a yadayim she'ein mochichot, because maybe he's not saying this shtar is affecting the divorce, and if that's the case, then it's not a get, because a get has to be v'katav la sefer kritut v'natam biyada. It has to be the thing that's affecting the divorce. So now, they say, so what do you see from here? Yadayim she'ein mochichot aren't yadayim. Okay, doesn't work. Now, obviously, this isn't a case of a neder. It's a different situation, right? You follow that. But what's he saying? Since it's not clear what you're doing with this document, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's not going to work unless you make it very clear. So they say, Shmuel must have held like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Gemara is not so happy with that. The Gemara is still going to say, and that's why I said we're going to talk about this in a minute, Amai dachik Shmuel lu'ugmei lamatnitin ka Rabbi Yehuda. Lukma ka Rabbanan. Afagav de'en yadayim mochichot. In other words, why? Remember what happened here. The Mishnah just said, gave these five options of yadayim. And came along Shmuel, and he made it more complicated, right? He said, that can't be what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah must be talking about where you said, Because what? Must have been because he held like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, why did he have to interpret the Mishnah in a difficult manner, right? A manner that wasn't really the pshat of the Mishnah, just to make it work like Rabbi Yehuda. He should have just held like Chachamim and left the Mishnah in its simple reading. Okay, now what do you see here? Historically speaking, what you see here, it's clear to me, the underpinnings of this, from the top of this Amud to here, is that Rabbi Yehuda, they didn't really go for his opinion, you have to imagine, because they can't imagine, and it's not just stum, because generally we say we have no problem if a Tana, if an Emora holds by a different Tanaitic opinion. But here it seems like they didn't really hold by Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore didn't want to, they couldn't accept the fact that Shmuel was holding like Rabbi Yehuda. Understand? So while it could very well be that Shmuel really held like Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara doesn't like that. The Gemara thinks it can't possibly be. Okay, now generally when the Gemara asks these questions, it's so clear to whoever's putting this together that that can't be the case. And probably from the reality surrounding them was that people didn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda in whatever time period this was being put together. And therefore they can't imagine how could it be that Shmuel was holding like him, right? So often you view things that happen before your time, right, through your eyes, through what you see happening. So they saw that no one was holding like Rabbi Yehuda, say, how could it possibly be that Shmuel would be holding like him? So therefore, they say Shmuel just could have left the Mishnah simply and not held like him. So Amar Rava, here's our answer. Matnitin kishite. The lashon of the Mishnah was difficult for him to explain according to the pshat. Okay, right, again, what's the pshat without Rabbi Yehuda? The pshat would just be, either you say mudrani mukha, or you say muchat mukha, or you say mufrashi mukha, or you say shani toyam mukha, or you say shani ochelecha. Any one of those five lashonot would work on their own. Why didn't he want to say that? Because amai tane shani ochel lecha, shani to'em lecha, litni shani ochel, shani to'em. Okay? Shmamina bi'inan yadayim mochichot. Now what does this mean? Since the Mishnah didn't use the lashon of shani ochel, or shani to'em, because of that, he said it added the word lecha. What did the word lecha come to do? It came to clarify. Because if you just say shani ochel or shani to'em, it could mean that you're saying, like let's say you would say mufrash mimcha shani ochel, you could possibly be saying, I'm distancing myself from you if I don't eat today. Okay? Or if I eat today. If I eat today, then I'll be forbidden to talk to you. Or if I eat tomorrow, or if I eat for the next month, or if I eat, but not if I eat from you. You understand? Lecha comes to teach you, specifically it means for you. In other words, I'm not going to eat from you. So because the Mishnah used specifically a very specific Lashon, it caused Shmuel to believe, at least that this is what Rava thinks. Remember, Shmuel and Rava are a distance of three generations. Okay, Rava's already fourth generation. Rava said it must be that added word Lecha, okay, must be because he read it as you need Yadayim Mochichot. Because without the word Lecha, it would be unclear, and therefore it wouldn't be Usser, according to the Mishnah, if you don't add the word Lecha. So therefore, he must hold, based on that, the Yadayim Sheim Mochichot are not anything. Okay? That's where we end, basically. This, we're going to continue a little more with Yadayim Sheim Mochichot, but we're kind of closing this section now. What we did was we took Shmuel, we tried to figure out what he meant when he said the words, B'kulan ad shiomar shani ochel lecha shani to'em lecha. Most of the interpretations tried to fit into those words. One of them really didn't, right? Because it separated between mudrani mimcha and mudarni lecha, and then eventually it was rejected. And in the end, they say, like we thought in the beginning, that it means you have to put both pieces together. And why? Because without that, it's not clear what you mean. And because it's not clear what you mean, we don't consider that a yad of a neder. Okay, a yad of a neder that works is only a yad, right? We said yadiyot nedarim, kinedarim, is that the word they used? Yadot nedarim, right. Yadot nedarim, kinedarim is only if, according to Shmuel, if it's yad shemochiach. If it's a yad, that's clear what you mean. So you have to think about it, what we have here. A yad in general, it's kind of an unclear statement. So what's funny here is what they're doing is they're saying, no, a yad is not an unclear statement, it's an incomplete statement. Right? Incomplete is different from unclear. Incomplete means you're missing the words asur or kikorban. But unclear already wouldn't be a yad. Unclear means we don't know. Do you mean you don't want to eat food at all? You don't want to eat food from this person? You don't want to talk to this person? You don't want to be near this person? Well, if we don't know what you mean, it's not a yad. Okay, now we're going to see something strange. Itmar. There's a machloket. What did we establish right now? We established that there's a machloket Tanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim about Yadot She'ein Mochichot. Okay? Yadot that aren't clear. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein, right? Ein Oklum. And Chachamim say, it's good, right? It works. So now, it seems like, right, from this case of Gufo Shel Get, what do we assume? That's the Machloket. Or Yadayim She'ein Mochichot, Klum or not Klum, right? Do they count or do they not? So now we're going to see. Now that's a Machloket Tanaim. Now the Gemara is going to say Itmar. It was said. Itmar is usually, not always, but usually an introduction to a Machloket of Emoraim. Okay, the guys living in the time of the Gemara. Yadayim She'ein Mochichot. And usually it has this structure. Here's the title of the Machloket. The Machloket is Yadayim She'ein Mochichot. Abai Amar, Havyan Yadayim. Rava Amar, Lo Havyan Yadayim. Okay? So first thing we have is, right, Rava. Okay, Rava matches up and says, right, did I do this right? Rava says, Lo Havyan Yadayim, right? He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And Abai holds like Chachamim. This, by the way, adds a bit of a koshi to what I said, because generally, we pass on like Rava against Abai, and Rava Dafka holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But we'll see why in the end it's not going to be such a problem because the Gemara anyway. But it is actually strange, according to what I said earlier, that why are we so, we're so, it's so strange that Shmuel's holding that way. The Gemara has difficulty with it. In the end, Rava paskins that way. So it's hard to know why they were so confused with Shmuel about it. But there must have been something going on. So now we have a Machloket Emoraim. Okay? So first we're going to see, Rava's going to explain his reasoning. Abai doesn't, but Rava explains why he thinks it's lo having yadayim. Rabbi Idi Ezberali, okay, Rabbi Idi explained to me what the source is. Amar kra, nazir la hazir la Hashem, our famous pasuk that we already know a lot about, right? Now we're going to see a new thing they're going to learn from this. Makish yadot nizirut le nizirut. Just like you have regular nizirut, right? The way the Nizirut is accepted upon you is the same way the Yadot have to be accepted upon you. In what way? Ma Nizirut b'hafla'a, af Yadot Nizirut b'hafla'a. It has to be an expression of words that you have to say that you're doing it for Nizirut. Also here, when you do a Yad, it has to be clear what your intention is. Okay? Hafla'a means expressing it in words, but an expression that is clear. So he comes to learn it from there. So just like Yadot, right, the Yadot of Nizirut are going to be the same as the Nizirut. Remember we said that Nazir Lazir comes to include Yadot? That was one of the interpretations, one of the drashot. So here they're saying not only does it include Yadot, but the criterion for a Yad is going to be the same as the criterion for the actual Nizirut, that it has to be expressed in a clear manner. Now we're going to ask our question. Lema beplugta Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan kamipalge? Are we trying to say that they argue about the same things Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim? And if we do, what's the problem? Why would Emoraim argue about things the Tanaim already argued about, right? Instead, what would they say? Now, it's one thing. They could argue about what Tanaim argued about, but they would just say, I hold like him and I hold like him. And as it doesn't, you wouldn't say, oh, we have a machloket. What do you mean? They had a machloket already. Why are you talking about it? Like, who are you to, right, come and bypass them almost? Ditnan, and here we're going to see the machloket. Gufo shall get harat mutarat lekol adam. Rabbi Yehuda omer v'din dehav lechi minay sefer teruchim beget piturin v'igeret shivukin. Here they add this get piturin. Okay, you have to say that this is going to be for you, your sefer kritut and your get that's going to be exempt you and your letter of removal. And that's Rabbi Yehuda that we see. But Chachamim disagreed with him. They don't quote Chachamim here. And then we'd say Abai damar karabanan v'rabba damar karabbi Yehuda. But now they're going to say no. Now we're going to get finally to our distinction between this get case and the Yadayim case. Okay, they're not exactly the same. Amar lecha Abaye. Amar lecha always means, remember? Not that Abaye says it, but we're putting words in Abaye's mouth. Abaye could explain himself because he's no longer here. Abaye could say, Ana da'amre afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda. I even agree with Rabbi Yehuda in the get case. In the Yad case, I think that Yadayim Shei Mochichot would be good. But in the get case, I agree that he has to say this document is affecting the get. Why? You can already guess. You know why? Because, right? Only by get you need it. Why? Because the pasuk says you need a safer kritut. And in this case, if he just says, doesn't have the lashon of the kritut. The get isn't affecting the divorce. The get is just a document that he said, harem uchar lekol adam. Okay? Aval ba'alma mishamale. But that's only because there's a special unique din by get, which appears in the Torah, and that's just unique to get. But in a different case of yadayim, it wouldn't apply. V'rava amar, ana da'amre afilu l'rabanan. Rava could say that in the case of yadot, I don't think it works if you're not clear. But in the case of get, it would be clear why. Why don't you need it by get? Now we're going to see the exact flip. When it comes to a get, if you say to your wife and give her a star that says, and you say, what else do you mean? In other words, you're obviously giving the get to your wife. You're not giving it to some woman, random woman on the street. It's clear what your intentions are. And therefore, that's not a yad she'ena mochichot. Yadayim she'ena mochichot is something we don't know what you meant. How can you possibly say that's a neder if we don't even understand what your intentions were? But when it comes to the get, it's so clear what your intentions are that it's okay if you don't specify, I'm giving you this get to affect the divorce, you know. And okay? And therefore, if you just wrote harat mutar lekol adam, that's sufficient. She's divorced. Okay?
Isn't it interesting that they're using a get sort of like as a comparable to a neder? Like, is a get a neder?
Right. So it's totally not. What are they trying to do? They're trying to take a situation where we have a machloket. Okay, let's talk about what they're really doing here. We have this statement of Shmuel that we were not clear about what he meant. We then finally come to some conclusion about it. And then we want to have it fit into some existing framework that we have. So what do they say? Well, what do we have here? We have a situation where we're talking about someone made an unclear statement and we weren't sure what he meant by it. And therefore, can we judge it what we think he really meant, even though he wasn't 100% clear? Or can we assume, can we say that since he wasn't clear, we assume this is nothing? So what do? They try to find something that existed before Shmuel that we can fit it into that framework, because they always prefer to fit things into pre-existing structures. So we go back to some machloket that's in a totally different topic. And that's really the question. Can we learn something from a totally different topic? That's exactly what the Gemara is doing. So they go to this totally different topic and they say, oh, from here you can see that there was a machloket tana'im about it. And then the Gemara kind of comes and says, okay, well, wait. But now we have a machloket amora'im about this. Well, we have a machloket amora'im about it later, after Shmuel's time, right? And if it fit into the structure of the tana'im, why wouldn't they have fit it into the structure of the tana'im? So therefore, they now say, well, the fact that Rav and Abaye argue about this straight on, because remember, no one argues with Shmuel, so it wasn't so clear there's a machloket, okay? But from Rav and Abaye, it becomes clear there's a machloket, and then they say, well, if that's the case, it doesn't really make so much sense to fit it into a pre-existing structure, because then Rav and Abaye themselves would have just said, I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, I paskin like Chachamim. And therefore, they come and they say, well, maybe not. Maybe it doesn't fit into this pre-existing structure, and maybe we have to treat get as a totally unique case because of the unique nature of get, or vice versa. The neder has something unique about it that get doesn't have, which is a neder, it's unclear. Do you mean my food, his food? What food are you talking about? What do you mean? Or, you know, do you mean distancing? Do you mean not talking? It's unclear. Whereas get, it's totally obvious what you're doing, and forget about this, that you need a sefer kitut. No, this won't function as a sefer kitut because it's obvious you're divorcing her. So there's nothing else to, you know, there's no other option. And then they basically end with saying, clearly these things are not connected, and don't try to relate them, and, you know, go back to the fact that there was some machlok at Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Shmuel kind of said this chiddush on his own, so to speak. Rav and Abaye build off of that and come up with their, you know, they then have a machloket about whether we agree with him or not. But yadayim she'ena mochichot. Okay, that's basically our structure. Okay, it's going to continue. There's more to it, but we'll see on Shabbat.